Okay, good morning to everyone. So magandang umaga and praise God sa kamanghamanghang performance kanina. So we were amazed by the voice. Meron pang mga second voice at saka third voices. So maganda talaga. Amazing. Okay, so we thank the Lord for the talents and the gifts that He has given us. Well, kanina, you were introduced to one of our leader and disciple, si Brother King. Actually, if somebody looks for Pastor King in church, siya yung pinupuntahan. So, I'm so glad and happy that he is always there whenever I need him. And even if I don't need him, he's also there. So, maganda pang may ganong disciple na who's always ready to help you. And so, I praise the Lord for that. Well, I regret that my wife cannot come along, although originally she was also invited to be one of the speakers yesterday. But because of the exam of my children, so she decided that she need to be with the kids. And so, she extends her greeting to all of you. So, these are my family. So, God has blessed us with two wonderful children, Daryl and Gadiel. And sometimes we miss the times na baby pa sila. And sila, they miss the times that they were also baby. So, minsan, they would look at the video nung baby pa sila, and they will laugh at themselves. And we find ourselves sometimes crying because we miss those little kids. But we're blessed to have two grown up now. And they are also involved in the ministry. They are also discipling others and leading life groups. So we praise God to have children who are involved in the work of the Lord. Well, our focus for today, we'd like to talk about the kingdom of God. Because the theme is the kingdom strikes back. And next week, you're going to hear the message of Pastor Al about how the kingdom of God will strike back against the work of the enemy. And today, we'd like to focus on the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is, and why the kingdom of God is important. So, in particular, we're going to talk about three things about the kingdom of God. We'd like to talk about the centrality of the kingdom of God. We'd like to talk about the controversy of the kingdom of God. And we'd like to talk about the conquest for the kingdom of God. So, those are the three things that we'd like to focus this morning. And first of all, as we talk about the centrality of the kingdom of God, we'd like to understand that the Bible focuses on the kingdom of God. In fact, the kingdom of God is one of the most important topic in the Bible. And if you remember the words of Jesus, sabi ni Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. And what is interesting was that when Jesus was talking about the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, He also mentioned about the disciplines involved in the kingdom of God. And He mentioned about praying. He mentioned about fasting. He mentioned about giving. In church, we started to do these three things together on the month of January. Because there is something, there's power when you put these three disciplines together. Jesus said when you pray. Jesus said when you fast. Jesus said when you give. So every January, we have our 21-day fast. And we end the fasting and prayer with our first fruit giving. And usually, in the month of January, it's very unusual because alam natin na pag December, may mga bonus yon. Pero pag January, ubos na yon. And our First Fruit Sunday is in the middle of the month. So parang people are still waiting for their end salary at the end of the month. But we praise God because the giving during our first fruit is amazing. It's like the Lord providing for the people to be able to give for their first fruit. And the Lord never ceases to amaze us in how He is able to empower us to give when we put first the kingdom of God. And testimonies after testimonies have been heard about how the Lord blessed each one who gave faithfully to Him. You see, this is a point. When we learn not to hold on to these things, to the things of the world, the Lord can entrust these things to us. But the more we hold on to these things, the more it's difficult for the Lord to entrust them to us. And that's why one thing we learned in the area of giving recently is that the question we need to ask is not how much of my money should I give to the Lord. That's a wrong question. But a question we need to ask is, how much of God's money should I use for myself? May iba yun, di ba? Parang, if that is our mindset, how much of God's money should I use for myself? Parang, you are going to think twice. You are going to think thrice before spending for something. But if that is our perspective, God can freely bless us. Not because we want something, but because He knows it would be a powerful testimony of who He is in our lives. And that's why when we talk about the kingdom of God, it is a central topic in the Bible. In fact, if we look at the parables of Jesus, it's all about the kingdom of God. Okay? It begins by saying, and the kingdom of God is like this. So it's all, the parables are all talking about the kingdom of God. It talks about what will be in the kingdom of God. It talks about what the kingdom of God is like. So the focus of the parables of Jesus is about God's kingdom. Second, the preaching of Jesus are all about the kingdom of God. In fact, Jesus would declare, the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 4:17. He would say, the kingdom is here. Why? Because the king has already come. Third, the power and the miracles are demonstration of the kingdom of God. That's why in Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, but if I cast out by the Spirit of God, evil spirit, then the kingdom of God is among you. So all of this are pointing to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is central in the teaching of Jesus Christ because He came as a king to introduce the kingdom of God. So the parables describe the kingdom. The preaching declares the kingdom. And the power demonstrates the kingdom of God. And that's why, as we talk about the kingdom of God, we need to realize that as Christians, we should not have that worldly perspective. Instead, we should have that kingdom perspective. Whenever we do things, we think about the kingdom of God in our lives. Second, the controversy of the kingdom. There are things in the Bible that seems conflicting. Parang magkaiba. But yet, when we look carefully into it, it is not really conflicting. They may be contrasting to each other, but in the end, they are really complementing. They are there together for a reason. So, for example, knowledge and wisdom. You see, the problem in the Bible, the Pharisees always brings out controversy against Jesus. Sino sa atin nag-experience ang controversy sa life natin? Okay? Usually, controversy happens because either you cause it yourself or somebody is bringing it against you. Okay? But in the case of Jesus, there's nothing wrong with Jesus. There's nothing wrong with His teaching. But the problem is, there's something wrong with the people who are against Him. And that's why when He look at the life of the Pharisee and the Sadducees, sabi nila, nakakalungkot yung mga Sadducee. Kasi palaging sad, sad you see. Asa kayo mga Pharisee, malayo ang tingin. Pharisee. And so Jesus would say, they pretend to be righteous. They pretend to be godly. But in reality, their hearts are far away from God. Jesus was able to see the condition of their heart. That's why when they listen to the truth, they only see and hear controversy. But yet when we look at the Bible, people think knowledge and wisdom, one is more important than the other. But what is interesting is the Bible tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Both of these are important. Though the Bible tells us that knowledge puffs up, but wisdom leads to humility. Yet at the same time, knowledge is prerequisite to wisdom. So both are together. And that's why another verse in the Bible tells us, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Many times whenever we share the gospel, we encounter people who would ask us, what do I need to do to be saved? And we will answer, believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Sabi nila, yun lang ba? Yun lang? They cannot accept that it's so simple. Why? Because in their mind, they have to do something. They have to pay for something. But they fail to understand that somebody paid for it. That's why it's free. In life, there's nothing free. Do you believe that? Walang free. Okay? Walang free. The only reason why something is free, because somebody paid for it. Okay? And that's why we thank the Lord, because He set us free. Because He paid for it. And this is what the Bible is saying. God will use the foolishness of the world to confound the wisdom, their wisdom. And we have experienced in church also that there was a time nahirapan kami sa mga medyo young ones. May young ones tayo, may young ones. Kasi sabi nila, matanda na kami. Let the young people do it. Yung parang retired na kami, dito na kami. Okay? But as we go along and continue to teach them the Word of God, we were amazed how the Lord began to change that kind of culture and perspective. In fact, we were introduced to a couple pastor. His name was Pastor Dan, and his wife is Sister Veron. They were working in the mountains as pastors, and they were wounded, they were rejected, they experienced a lot of pain and heartaches. And one day, I found them coming to church, and they were telling me, "Pastor, we know each other for so long. We are now retired and we're so excited about it. We just want to be a worshiper in your church. Is it okay?" And I told them, "Of course, you're very much welcome in our church. The problem is, they sign up for the encounter. They had an encounter, and in the encounter, the Lord spoke to them from the book of Proverbs. Kahit na maputi na yung buhok mo, gagamitin kita." Yung sabi niya kay Lord, "Lord naman, wala na nga akong buhok eh." And so He changed the term. Hindi pala retire. Sabi niya, the Lord re-tired him, changed the tire. Kasi he struggled with arthritis. So our church is in the third floor. We're renting the third floor. So people have to climb the stairs to the third floor, walang elevator. And so sometimes, pag may arthritis siya, he would find himself slowly climbing the stairs, stopping over at the second floor for a while, and then going up to the third floor. And if there are Sundays that I couldn't find him, alam ko na, yung gout niya. So hindi siya makalakad for 3 days, sometimes even a week, so he cannot come to church. But after he recommit his life to the Lord, and he accepted the calling of God, guess what? Nawala yung arthritis. Sino dito may arthritis? Ibigay mo ng life mo kay Lord. Okay? Give yourself to the work of the Lord. You know, God is amazing. Because whenever we say yes to the Lord, He removes the problem that hinders us from serving Him. Okay? And so, they are now serving the Lord as outreach pastor. And these are their disciples, the people that they are leading. And we praise God because from this group of young ones, some of them heeded the call of God, and together with Pastor Dan, they started outreaches. And these outreaches were unplanned. It just so happened because they knew somebody, and who referred somebody, until eventually these outreaches began. So this is an outreach that we have in Murcia. If you are in Bacolod, one of the famous places nearby is Mambucal. It is a resort with 7 falls. But you have to climb the 7 falls. So the entrance of Mambucal is a bit high, but the place where they are having their worship is higher. And the couple who heeded the call is this couple. They are actually the parents-in-law of Brother King. They have to climb the mountain. Pag walang car, they hike the mountain for around 30 minutes or more. And guess what? The pastor there, Pastor Ben, the father-in-law of Brother King, is 69 years old. This is another outreach in Talisay area, Concepcion. And the guy in the picture is the pastor. He was and is still a security guard. He was a security guard in our Chinese church. And one Saturday evening, I brought Pastor Carlo to the hotel because we had a conference, and I dropped by to get something before we check in to the hotel nearby. And I saw him and I told him, tomorrow is our anniversary. Here are tickets. Would you like to come? And he said, can I bring my wife? I said, of course. And so that evening was his duty. He was supposed to be out 6 o'clock in the morning. Our worship time was 9 o'clock in the morning. So he went home, he changed, together with his wife, they came to church. And that day, they received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And his life was changed, and eventually he heeded a call. Even though he's a security guard, uneducated, but he is respected, people in that place call him pastor. This is another outreach we have, 3 to 4 hours away from Bacolod. It is in Kawayan, Kaliling. It is in that place that the NPAs are very active. That's why it's a hot spot. Okay, if you hear the incident that happened 2 weeks ago, na may na-ambush, NPAs were about to shoot a military vehicle, but there was a vehicle for hire with foreigners na nag-overtake. And so they were hit by bullets. Fortunately, nobody died, but they were injured. Okay, it was near that place. Okay? And so it is a hot spot. It is also known as the laboratory, Shabu Laboratory of Negros. But we praise God, when that outreach church was started, we were able to see the top 3 Shabu Queen and the top 1 Shabu King came to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Okay. Some of the people in church were just having their prayer walk. Nagpa-prayer walk lang sila early in the morning. And all of a sudden, somebody called them. Somebody sitting doon sa isang tiyangge, sa Rizari store. Tinawag sila. Oh, ano ginagawa niyo dyan? Ah, nagpa-pray kami. Oh, magkape muna kayo. And so they sat down with this lady. They had coffee. And then she started sharing her life. She said that she's on the run because of the issue of Shabu. And she's tired of her life, running and hiding. She wanted a new life. And they started sharing Jesus to her. And little did they know that this woman is the third wanted person in that place. Sabi ko, buti na lang walang Shabu sa kape niyo. But she accepted Jesus Christ. And then we found out from her that the top one, the number one wanted, was her son, the Shabu King. And so the Shabu King came to know Jesus Christ in one of the Bible study. He surrendered. He was put in jail because he's wanted. But praise God, na-rescue siya. Hindi siya namatay. Okay. So, aside from that, we were also able to minister to the soldiers who were there because they were looking for a place to stay. And all of a sudden, they went to the municipal hall, but the local municipal hall could not provide a shelter for them kasi may darating na bagyo. And so one of them have a background of being a Christian. Naghanap sila ng church. And sa maraming church doon, they end up in our church for unknown reason except for divine providence. And so they opened up the needs to the pastor in prayer, and the pastor said, oh, by the way, there is a place at the back of the church. We own it. But nobody's staying anymore. You can stay there. So they stayed there for 8 long months, 12 of them. But little did they know, by staying in the pastor's place, they had Bible study every day. And after 3 months of being there, we had an encounter with them. All 12 of them were baptized. So they gave up their anting-anting, they gave up their agimat because, you know, soldiers, they have a lot of these things for protection. And they realized that the only protection they need is God. And we heard a lot of stories and testimonies about what God did in their lives. One of the commanding officers in that place testified that one time they were so tired as they were traveling, and he couldn't help but lie down and sleep. And then little did he know that he lied down on something. It was a live mine. alam niya pag sumabog yon patay siya. But you know what happened? It exploded a little and he was only covered with mud. Nothing happened to him. He said, totoo pala yung power of prayer. Kaya nga, what is interesting is that recently, sabi ng pastor namin doon, may isang commander daw, Muslim, puro naghihingi ng prayer. Okay? Because God is powerful. Okay. And so, this was the first batch of soldiers that came to know Jesus Christ. And this is the amazing thing, because our pastor there was a woman. Babae. But yet, she was able to penetrate to the soldiers. Her personality fit into the soldier. Kaya nga, minsan naglilito. Tinatawag niya yung commander, pastor. Tinatawag siya ng commander, commander. Because she has a strong personality. But you see, this is the point. God uses the foolishness of the world to confound the wise. Little can we know that God can use a 69-year-old to minister to people in mountain. Little did we expect that God can use a security guard to pastor a church. Little did we know that God will raise up a woman to minister to the soldiers, reaching even the commanding officers. You see, this is the way God works. Sometimes we have our economy, we have our logic. We think, I am only good in this, I cannot do that. And so when the Lord tells us to do something, we give excuses. Lord, hindi para sa akin yan, hindi ko kaya yan, I don't have the ability. But yet, the amazing thing is, whenever we say yes to the Lord comes in. The Lord comes in. I remember one time that I was asked by a person from another church to visit her father. And she said her father is already in the ICU with the tubes there. And she told me that she needs somebody to minister to her father. She said her pastor cannot do that because her father can only understand Chinese. And I thought to myself, I'm already a third, fourth generation Chinese and my Chinese is already very limited. And so I thought, Lord, maybe somebody else could do that. But the Lord spoke to me very clearly that day. Do you want to miss out on what I'm going to do? And of course, with the word of God like that, who can say no? I don't want to miss out on the opportunity. So I gather all my strength. I put aside all my fears. I put aside all the possibilities of baka i-reject, baka ganon. And I went straight to the hospital. And by divine intervention, everything turned out smoothly. I was able to enter the ICU. I saw the father there on the bed, somewhat unconscious with tubes connected to him. And I know he would not last long. And so I was told that the last thing to go in a person is hearing. And so I speak to his ear. I read the book of Psalm to him. I shared the gospel to him in his ear. And I prayed for him. Of course, I didn't know what happened. But as I was about to leave the room, the attendant told me, "Oh, by the way, Pastor, when you were praying for him, I saw him kind of like nod his head." But then it could just be an impulse or something. But then, so I left the hospital thinking I've already done my part. I can do nothing more. And I got a call the following day from the daughter. She thanked me for praying for her father. And she said, "By the way, my dad has been moved from the ICU to a regular room." I was surprised. No? How many of you have experienced praying for a miracle and then you were surprised when it happened? Meron ba? Uy, nangyari. Okay, ganun. Well, he got out of the hospital eventually, and I received another call inviting me to his 80th birthday. So we celebrated the 80th birthday, and I was called and asked to pray for him. And after I prayed, they introduced me to the dad. They said, "This is Pastor Dave. He's the one who prayed for you." Okay. And after that, I went back to the table, and in the table were some relatives. I overheard them talking. "Do you know that this guy really hated his wife for being a Christian?" And then there are only three words that could flare him up. Magagalit siya talaga. Those three words are, "Pastor." Jesus, prayer. And when I heard that, I said, Lord, thank you for not revealing it to me. Well, three more days passed by, I received a call, and the daughter said their father passed away. But she was so thankful and grateful that during that last moment, they had the opportunity to talk more about Jesus to him. And they are confident and sure that he received Christ before he passed away. And I was thinking, Lord, if I did not say yes to you, I would have missed out on that opportunity to witness your hand at work, the miracle that you did. You see, in our human logic, we're thinking, I see you na yan, wala na yan. Okay? Kahit na sa phone call na lang prayer, pwede na, wala ka na magawa. But yet, we don't expect that God can do miracles, that God can do things beyond our human logic. And that's why, when we open our minds, we realize that our knowledge, our wisdom is limited. In fact, our wisdom and knowledge cannot, in a way, compete to what God knows. Okay? It's nothing. Because God himself said, for the foolishness of God is just the wisdom of men. God is beyond our thoughts. He's beyond our ways. Secondly, we have the law and grace. This is another controversy. Today, people said we are no longer under law, but we are under the grace of God. But then, if we look at the Bible carefully, Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Sometimes you hear Christians saying, wala na, hindi na tayo under the law, under the grace na tayo. And that's why we should not be legalistic. Okay? We can do what we want to do as long as we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. But this is the point. If you say that you are a Christian, but you are disobeying the Lord, the Bible says, you have to ask yourself if you are truly a Christian. Because the law was not abolished. The law was fulfilled through Jesus Christ. What was Jesus saying? Jesus was saying the law made us aware that we are sinners. Whenever we go through the Ten Commandments, it convicts us that we are imperfect people, we are sinners. But then because Jesus died on the cross for us, his death on the cross gave way for us to be victorious. The grace of God gave us the power to keep the law of God. You know, have you ever experienced, you try so hard, Lord, I want to obey you, and then parang the more you try, the more you fail. Di ba familiar yung sabi ni Paul? What I don't want to do, I do. But what I want to do, I cannot do. Sounds familiar? And some Christians use that as an excuse. But then, in my perspective, sinabi niyo ni Paul before he became a believer. Why? Because the following verse says, who can rescue me from this body of death? And he gave the answer, Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What Paul is saying, this was my life before. I know I need to do the right thing, but I can't. And the things that I don't want to do, that I do. I'm powerless. I'm powerless to obey the law. But because of Jesus Christ who empowers me right now, I can do it. You see, when we are intimate with the Lord, when we walk closely with the Lord, you are going to find yourself naturally moving away from sin and walking in righteousness. Your intimacy with God draws you closer to what is good and what is right. That's why the grace did not abolish the law. Grace empowers us to fulfill the law. That's why in the Bible it says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. It is in Jesus that grace and truth, or grace and law, was put together so that each one of us are empowered to be who God wants us to be. And third, spirit and the flesh. In the perspective of many, it is two conflicting things. We should not be of the flesh, but of the spirit. Well, we have to understand in the Bible, the flesh is used in different ways. But when the flesh refers to our physical body, we always remember what Jesus said in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But the life but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Whether we like it or not, after we become Christians, we're still in the flesh. Right? Hindi pa tayo naging multo. Okay? That's why we have jokes sometimes. It's good to win souls. But we need to bring the body here to church. Okay? So, after we became Christian, the Lord didn't take us up to heaven. We're still in the body, we're still in the flesh. Because God has a purpose for us. And in fact, this is the interesting thing. After Jesus returns, we will not be out of the body. We will have a new body. We will have a new flesh, a new body. Okay? So God does not just redeem our spirit. God does not just redeem our soul. God also redeems our body. And that's why we have to remember, our flesh, our body, need not be our weakness. Okay? Our spirit is our strength that allows us to overcome the weakness of the body. But ultimately, we will experience God perfecting this frail body. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, "Because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Remember in Galatians 2:20, "The life I live by faith in the Son of God." So what is faith? Of course, we know in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith is being sure of what you hope for, being certain of what you do not see. And many people would ask the Lord, "Lord, if I have so little faith, can you give me more faith? Can you give me more faith?" And the reply of Jesus is, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. I want you to see the irony here. Jesus said, "You have so little faith." And then he said, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed." It does not connect. Because Jesus said, "You have little faith." And he said, "If you only have small faith, like a mustard seed." So maliit. Maliit pa rin. And so it's not about the size of our faith that Jesus is talking about. That's why some people will say, "Lord, if I only have faith, I can do this. If I only have more faith, I can do this." It's not about the size of the faith. Because ultimately, faith is not about what we know. Faith is about who we know. It's about the object of faith. Who do you believe in? Do you believe in the one who is able to do things for you? Many times, we look at the miracles that happen. We look at the testimonies of people. And we say, "Lord, maybe I lack faith. Maybe if only I have more faith, I could do or experience what others have experienced." But then, it's not about the size of your faith. It's about the object. You see, many times, we believe that our God is able to do all things. But the question is, do we believe that our God is able to do all things in us and through us? You see, whenever we don't have that confidence that God can do it through us, we're still putting our faith in us. It's like as if nakataya sa atin yung gagawin natin para kay God. That's why, "Lord, kulang kasi eh. Kulang." But we need to remember, if our object of faith is God, kahit na kulang sa atin, hindi sa Kanya. He can come in and do the impossible. There's an animal that is interesting. This animal is called the African impala. And this animal is said to be able to jump a distance of greater than 30 feet. Ganon kagrabe, katindi. Okay? But what is interesting about this animal is that you can keep this animal inside a zoo with a 3-foot wall. Surrounded by a 3-foot wall. What's the problem? Why can this animal jump 30 feet and yet it cannot go out of a 3-foot wall cage or 3-foot wall enclosure? This is the problem with this animal. The animal will not jump if they cannot see where their feet would land. They will not jump if they could not see where their feet will land. And so many Christians are like that. We live by sight, but the Bible says You don't live by sight, you live by faith. There are times that the Lord asks us to do something and we see something else. And the Lord is telling us, open your eyes and see something from a different perspective. Okay? In 2015, as we were planning our anniversary, somehow the Lord impressed in my heart, I want you to go to SMX and rent their convention hall. And so, I brought it up to the leaders, and we went to SMX, and that day, the chairs were arranged, and as I look at the chairs, things were running in my mind. Lord, we're roughly around over 200 people in church. How can we fill this venue of 1,000? So paano pag yung parang Lord, paano pag konti lang pumunta? Mapahiya kami. Those are the things that are running in my mind. But then I didn't know one of our leaders took a picture and he quoted from Genesis chapter 15. But as I was praying, the Lord also impressed in my heart, I want you to see the faces of people who will be sitting on these chairs. And so we rented the 1,000 hall venue. During the week of the anniversary celebration, we were called by SMX. The hall that you're renting had a problem because the aircon has breakdown. So we're moving you, we're upgrading you to hall number 3 at the same price. Hall number 3 can sit 1,200 people. So in my mind, sabi ko, nagpo-problema na ako ng 1,000. Ginawa pang 1,200. Do parang hindi masaya yung upgrade ah. But then we went on with the anniversary. And as the anniversary was about to start, I looked back. And that's the last thing you should do. I looked back and saw only 1/3 of the place was filled up. And so my heart was worried. I was unrest. And the Lord told me, go to the room, the VIP room that is provided by SMX, and spend time there. And so I have to obey the Lord. I went away. I went to the VIP room. I prayed. And I committed everything to the Lord. And then I went back, forgetting about the worries, the anxieties, and I just worshiped the Lord. And before I knew it, our youth pastor went up the stage and said, praise God, we are full house today. We are full house today. We didn't know where the people came from, but of course some were invited, some were relatives. But we saw the ushers, as they are putting additional chairs, they were crying, they were in tears. Some of them were crying because their parents came to church. Some of them were crying because their loved one came to church. And we praise God because people accepted Jesus on the altar call. And so it gave us courage. The next year, on our 19th anniversary, we still rented SMX. And praise God, Pastor Al was our speaker for that Sunday. And this year our problem was this. Our problem is, baka hindi nakasya sa hall number 3. But because last year I announced to the church, next year on our 20th anniversary, we'll still be renting SMX. And then when we went to SMX, nagtanong kami, sir, pasensya, hindi available yung hall number 3. Only hall number 2 is available, yung 1,000 na capacity. Kasi there are 2 churches who are renting. Okay. So nag-isip kami, yung speaker namin si Edmund Chan. Tapos kasabay namin yung dalawang church, nasa gitna kami. We will be hearing everything that's happening except Edmund Chan. Okay. And so we said, this will not work. So we tried to look for other places. Walang nangyari. And then a few months after, nagulat kami because SMX called us up. Sabi na, sir, available yung hall number 3. Are you still interested? Okay, tinanong ng misis ko, tinanong ni pastora, how much? Ito yung price. Ay, sobrang mahal yan. Hindi namin kaya kasi may banquet pa kami sa pavilion, ganon. Sabi nila, sige, we'll adjust the price. And so they gave us half the price. And then yung pinaka-amazing is this. Tumawag sila ulit 1 week after. Sabi nila, by the way, meron pa kayong cheque dito. Cheque. Paano nangyari yan? Meron pa kayong cheque dito. Baka gusto nilang gamitin sa down payment. Kaya nag-isip kami, paano kaya yung cheque? At saka yung check pala, magsistale na. So meaning 6 months na with SMX. And so sabi namin, sure, sure. And so, praise God. Because we were able to get SMX hall number 3 at a very low price. And so, we had a wonderful time of celebration. We have a wonderful speaker. And we were surprised because we were visited by the mayor as well. And we're given the opportunity to pray for him during the anniversary. The guy who did the painting was one of the young people whom God has changed, whose life God has changed. And we asked him to do the reverse painting because he did that in one of our youth meeting. So he painted a picture of Jesus nakabaligtad, and then at the end of the painting, he would put it around. Saturday, before the anniversary, I was wondering how come he's worried. And so I prayed for him and asked God to give him peace. And the following day, I realized he was doing something else. He was painting with glue. He was painting the picture of Jesus with glue. So you can imagine, you cannot see what you're painting. And then after painting the glue, he splashed his painting with a gold dust. And he turned the picture around. And that was the picture that came out. And so, nakita ko, if we have that faith in the Lord, you know, God will allow us to do more than what we can ever dream of or imagine. See, many times we are limited by what we dream, by what we imagine. Okay? We are familiar with dimension. This one is called one dimension. Flat lang siya. This one is called two dimension. It's still flat, but there's now a figure. This one is called three dimension. Okay? We are limited by our three dimension vision, by our three dimension experience. But what if there is a fourth dimension? What would it look like? This is how some people describe it. According to them, that's fourth dimension. Well, of course, we don't have that scientific thing about the fourth dimension. But there's one thing that we know. There is the spirit realm, the spiritual dimension. Many times, we bound ourselves by the physical dimension. We live by sight. We live by what we see. And what we see sometimes are not encouraging. Right? We see problems. We see trials. We see sickness. We see difficulties. We see problem. But the Lord is asking us to look beyond what we see and to start seeing with the eyes of faith and begin to believe in what God is able to do in your life. That is kingdom perspective, kingdom dimension. And finally, the conquest for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 11:12, it says, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force." The word violent there comes from the Greek word biazo. And violence, violent men, biastes. Some people have two different interpretations. Some people interpret the violent men in a positive sense. They are violent because they are zealous. They are zealous to get into the kingdom of God. Others, they interpret the violent men as negative. They oppose the work of the kingdom of God. And so when you study the commentaries, it is not clear to which it is referring to. So that's not our discussion for today. But one thing we know, the moment there is a conquest, there is violence involved. That's why as we talk about the kingdom strikes back, there is always violence involved. Whenever there's a conquest, there's striking back. Nothing is taken. Okay? Taken back. No conquest is done without violence. And many times as Christians, we fail to understand that we are in at a battle. We are in war. We are at war. One time my wife was praying, "Lord, what kind of a church do you want our church to be?" And the Lord gave her a picture of a church of army and soldiers. That was when we started ministering to soldiers. And we realized that the life of the soldier, as we were listening to their stories, is so similar to the life of a Christian. The soldiers, they knew what it means to listen and to submit to their officers and commanders. When their officer says, "Dapa!" Okay? All of them will fall to the ground without question because they know their life is at stake. But sometimes as Christians, when the Lord says, "Do this!" Lord, why? We ask the Lord, why? Okay, we question our commander. And they are ready to give their life. They know when they go out there, their life are at stake. That's why we know many soldiers gave their life in Marawi. Some of them, okay, if you have read the news, one of them told the wife, "We had a successful campaign. Kumain ka na ba? Hindi pa. Magkakain na kami." And a few hours after, she received a news. Her husband died through the sniper. They were ready to give their life because they know what is at stake. But sometimes we Christians, we forget we are at war. We want comfort. We want blessings. Lord, more blessings. But are we ready to rise up? Let me end with this passage in Matthew 16:18. Jesus said, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." Many Christians think of this from a wrong perspective. That the church is defending itself against the attack of the enemy. And the enemy cannot conquer the church. But we need to think of it from the right perspective. The church is on the offensive against the enemy. And the enemy cannot protect itself from the church conquering it. In the context, we would understand it more clearly what Jesus is saying. Because some people have different interpretation of what the gates of hell is or what the rock is. But in Matthew 16, this is what we read. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do you say the Son of Man is?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And then Jesus asked them a question. I don't care about what people say. I care about what you think. Many times when we give our opinion, we give opinions of others. We're afraid to be wrong. We don't have that confidence. Okay? But Jesus was asking them directly, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by men, but by my Father in heaven." And after that, Jesus said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." So where is Caesarea Philippi? We know that most of the ministry of Jesus is found in Galilee area. But that particular time, he brought his disciples on a long journey up to Caesarea Philippi. You know, Jesus would like to do actual sight teaching. And so they would travel with his disciples for days and weeks just for him to drive his point. And so he took his disciples all the way north to Caesarea Philippi just to tell them something. What is Caesarea Philippi? Caesarea Philippi is known as the city of sin in the ancient times. There were a lot of pagan worship. And with pagan worship, there are a lot of immorality. Do you know nga, kasama sa pagan worship ng mga idol worship comes prostitution, drugs, drunkenness. All of these are part of their worship of their pagan god. And so, it is in that place where one of the deity is famous. And his name is Pan. Not related to Peter Pan. Okay? That's why it's called the Sanctuary of Pan. And this is what it looks now. Okay, this is the outside of the temple that was already destroyed. So the temple actually is protruding, lumalabas sa isang cave. It is built outside a cave. And you can see the sign outside, Sanctuary of Pan. Okay, now who is Pan? This is what Pan looks like. He's a faun or a satyr. Okay, another depiction, and of course,
Alam niyo na, gets niyo na. Okay? And that's why that place is called the gates of hell. Okay? What is interesting is that when we look at mythological movies, Greek and Roman mythology, they will always depict hell, going to hell, as an underground river passageway. If you want to go to hell, you pass by an underground river until you reach hell. Kaya nga one time, si Hades, okay, took the bangka, going to hell. Okay, I don't know why. But anyway, Jesus was referring to that place as the gates of hell. And so when he said in Matthew 16:18, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Definitely, he was not talking about himself being the rock, neither as he was talking about Peter being the rock. He was pointing to the rock at the back and telling the disciples, you see this rock? You see this place? I tell you, I will build my church on it, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Because in the mind of the people, the gates of hell is there, at the mouth of the cave. And this is the point here today. Jesus is telling us, I will not put my church in the best resort in the world. I will put my church where the fiercest battle is taking place. I will not put my church in Maldives. I will put my church in Marawi. I will not put my church in Boracay. I will put my church in Basilan. That's what Jesus is saying. And the reason why he can say that is because he is saying, I have overcome. I have overcome. And the church, my body will also overcome. I am confident that my church will rise up. My church will stand. My church will overcome the gates of hell. I will put them where the mouth of hell is, and they will charge hell. They will go into hell. The gates will not hinder them, and they will bring out the souls that are held captive by the enemy. That's what Jesus is saying. And that's why Jesus has confidence in each one of us. Jesus has confidence in His church. Jesus has confidence in our churches, that our church will be able to fulfill the work. Why? Because He gave His life for us. He gave His life for us. In fact, Jesus never promised a perfect life. Jesus never promised a comfortable life. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, expect persecution and opposition. But then the good news is this. The gates of hell will not be able to stand against you. The gates of hell will not be able to stand against you. Satan may try as much as he can, but his gates are not strong enough for you. You will charge into the enemy's territory. You will redeem people who are held captive. You will rescue those who are being held by the enemy, and you will bring them out into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is saying. The church is the army of God in the last days. The church is the means of Christ into bringing the kingdom of God into this world. We are the plan of God for the conquest of the kingdom of God. And that's why, as we think about the kingdom perspective, you see, we thank the Lord because Jesus gave His life for us. Jesus died for us. And as we open our eyes and see beyond what we are experiencing and see with the eyes of faith, things will begin to happen in our lives. Miracles will begin to take place. God will begin to come in and do things that we can never even dream or imagine. Breakthrough, miracle will happen. Not because God wants you to enjoy a comfortable life, but because God wants you to be a powerful testimony of how great a God He is in your life. Let's pray. As we come to the Lord, okay, I want you to bring to the Lord everything that is in your heart today. You know, the reason why the kingdom of God is near, because the King is here. the reason why the kingdom of God is near, because the King is here. And Jesus is among us. Our King is here. And He will return in all His glory. And I believe where God is, miracles happen. So whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling, if you have financial problem, pour it to the Lord. Instead of looking and focusing on your debt, focus on your God. If you have any sickness or illness that is keeping you from serving the Lord, don't use it as an excuse. But focus on the Lord and see beyond your condition and allow Him to show you what He can do in your life. This morning, this place, whatever is in your heart, as you are pouring it out to the Lord, I want you to thank the Lord for the victory that you have in Him. I want you to thank the Lord because Jesus believed in you. He believed in you because He has equipped you with everything that you need for the kingdom of God. So whether you have financial problem that keeps you from serving the Lord, you know, sometimes we tell the Lord, "Lord, I want to serve you, pero madami pang utang. I need to pay it off. I need to do this. I need to do that." Or there's physical condition that keeps you from serving the Lord. "Lord, hindi ko kaya eh. I'm not physically well. I cannot do this. I cannot do that." Or you have struggles or bandages in your life that you have tried to overcome but you cannot. And you're telling the Lord, "Lord, how can I serve you pag ganito ako?" Today, the Lord wants you to see beyond your physical condition. The Lord wants you to see beyond what you see physically and to begin to see from a perspective of faith. Faith in what Jesus has done for you. And so if you're going through anything, whether physical sickness, whether financial struggle, whether bandages or whatever, today you're telling the Lord, "Lord, I'm lifting this up to you. I'm surrendering it to you." Even relational problem, depression, whatever you're going through. But today you're telling the Lord, "I want to see things from eyes of faith. If you're surrendering this thing to the Lord this morning, can you please stand from your seat and just lift it up to the Lord? Just tell the Lord, "Lord, I surrender these things to you." One thing we need to remember, when we surrender it to the Lord, when we lay it at the feet of Jesus, we leave it there. Don't get it back. Don't take it back. Leave it there. And just listen to the Lord. Listen to what God is telling you. Because I believe that God will give you instruction. God will give you guidance. What you need to do to be able to overcome and conquer whatever condition and situation that you are in. But there is those feeling in our heart right now that we know, because Jesus said, "The enemy has come to steal, to kill, and destroy." And you're saying today, "Lord, I have enough of what the enemy is doing in my life. I have enough." Because you said that you came to give life and give me life to the fullest. And that is the life that I want today. I want a life that is free. I want a life that overcomes. I want a life that is used for your glory.
Father, I come before your presence, O God. I pray for each and every person, Lord, who have stood up and have surrendered whatever they are going through, whatever struggles that they have, whatever problems that they are facing. In Jesus' name, O God, we declare that these problems have been won on the cross. These sicknesses are healed by the stripes that you bore on the cross. These financial struggles are paid because you declare it is finished. And Lord, by faith, I pray that your people will rise up and be free to serve you in whatever way you call them to. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their lives. We look forward to testimonies that we'll be hearing from them. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Maybe some of you are here for the first time. Some of you for the second, third, fourth time. Some of you have been here for a while. But the Bible tells us that our salvation is not found by being church or by trying to be good and obeying the law. The Bible tells us that Jesus died on the cross for us. You know, I grew up in a Christian family. I go to Sunday school since I was small, but I only received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 12. And I realized that you don't inherit salvation. You don't inherit a personal relationship with Jesus. You are the one who need to decide for it. But this is the wonderful thing. Life is not perfect, but there will be a perfect friend and a perfect God who will be there with you and for you. And so as you open your heart to the Lord is telling you, my child, I long for you. I want you to know me just as I know you, because I have called you by name. If you want to experience a personal relationship with the Lord and experience the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would like to invite you to come and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, so that you will understand the promise of Jesus when He said, I come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. If you came here for the first time, you can ask your friend to come with you, to bring you as you receive Christ. And so at the count of three, I would like to invite those of you who wants to receive Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior and experience the victory that Jesus had for you on the cross. So at the count of three, wherever you are, just come. One, two, three. Anyone who would like to receive Jesus, just come, just come. Come freely. The Lord is setting you free. The Lord is setting you free. The Lord is setting you free from the fear of rejection. The Lord is setting you free from the fear of intimidation. The Lord is setting you free from the pain that you have experienced in your past, because He wants you to know the wonderful life that He has prepared for you. For those who responded, great job for coming. I believe that everyone here is excited for each one of you. Every time I see people coming to receive Christ, I am always moved, because this is a wonderful opportunity for each one of you to know how great our God and our Savior is. So I would like to lead you in prayer. In this prayer, we're going to ask Jesus into our heart, surrender our life to Him as our Lord, as our Savior. In other words, we are recognizing, Lord, I've tried fixing my life. I've tried doing what is right, but I cannot. But from this day on, I'm surrendering myself to you. Lord, ikaw na bahala with my life, because I am confident you know what you're doing. And so, as I pray, can you follow me in prayer? Lord Jesus, I come to you today I thank you for loving me and for dying on the cross for my sins. And today, I open my heart to you and I surrender my life to you. I invite you into my life. Be the Lord and the Savior of my life. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you because you are my God, you are my Lord, you are my friend. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. The Bible says, the Bible says in John 1:12, yet to all who receive Him, to all who believe in Him, He gives them the right to become a child of God. From this day on, you are now officially a child of God. Okay? So, those of you who prayed a prayer, I want you to remember this day. If you have your physical birthday, today is your spiritual birthday. Okay? Today is your spiritual birthday. So it will be a day that will be remembered by you, because it will be a mark that will be a landmark in your life. So praise God. Church, let's welcome our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And by the way, the testimonies that I shared are found in the book Soar on Wings Like Eagle. And we also had two devotional books that you can get a copy at the back. The testimony, you can get it for free when you buy the two books. So I pray that each one of us will enjoy, and I look forward that Cross World will have a book of testimonies, because we'll be amazed by the stories that we're going to hear of how God changed the lives of people in this church.